now the three parables that taken from Luke chapter 15. First is the parable of the lost sheep. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them."
So he told them this parable. Which one of you, having 100 sheep, and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it?
And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulder and rejoices. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my lost sheep."
Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance.
Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost."
Just so, I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents.
Then Jesus said, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the wealth that will belong to me.' So he divided his assets between them.
A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had,
same thing as adultery. Well, let's stick to the anger and murder. So what cure for anger. Get rid of anger. Get more of Jesus. The cure is love. And ask Jesus for the fruit of the Spirit, especially love, because love overcomes hatred and anger and keeps you out of trouble. What about joy? Joy is a wonderful thing. But in today's world, we have a society, sadly, which is filled with uncertainty. They don't really know where to look. They're, you know, should I choose this or this or this or this? There's uncertainty, unrest, there is depression and suicide like we've never had before in our country and around the world. It's not a coincidence that uncertainty and depression and suicide live together. The Bible tells us what is right and what is wrong. The Bible tells us, and yes, we have not been perfect, just as the Pharisees were not perfect in their day. But the overall message of the gospel is one of love and joy and peace. And what about peace? Peace can cure what we have in our society today, which is infighting and unrest and anger and killing. The cure for all of these is peace. And Jesus said that he is the Prince of Peace. Now in these parables, remember, Jesus is teaching us what the kingdom of God is supposed to look like, because he ran into a bunch of guys that thought they knew, right? They thought you should just stay away from sinners, don't have anything to do with them, and talk about how much better you are than everybody else. Right? And keep trying, keep trying, keep trying, and never rest. And you may recall that we talked about that the Pharisees even came up with some new rules, which were not in the Bible, that they said that you could collect rainwater in a bucket on the Sabbath for drinking, but, okay, they allowed that, but if it hit a roof and came from the roof, your roof, and down into the bucket, then that was a sin, because your roof was doing too much work, right? Crazy things like this, right? And Jesus is saying it's about love, it's about joy, it's about peace. It's more than anything, it is about relationship. Jesus is teaching us what the kingdom of God looks like. He is specifically addressing the Pharisees who said this at the dinner table. You can't be the Messiah because you welcome sinners and you even eat with them. You hang out with them. In the parable, so he tells them three parables. The parable of the lost sheep. The lost sheep is found and there is a joy and a celebration. The parable of the lost coin. The coin is found and there's joy and celebration. Do we see a pattern here? Right. And then, Jesus continues teaching with a parable about the prodigal son. And guess what's going to happen? It's going to be found and there's going to be a celebration. And what Jesus is saying, I think more than anything else, is this. The kingdom of God is like a party. And we should we be careful with what we do? Yes. But we need to celebrate, brothers and sisters. We need to be celebrating people. And Jesus talks about that. And so if you would say that with me, the kingdom of God is like a? That's not good enough. That doesn't sound like a party to me. The kingdom of God is like
a party.
Yes, it is. That's the way it should be. Jesus continues the teaching with the prodigal son. The younger son has just asked his father for his inheritance at an early age because, you know, kids know better than their parents do, right? You know, well, I did when I was younger. And the father finally relents. He gives in and he gives him half of the family fortune. Now we pick up the rest of the story. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and he traveled to a distant nation, a distant region, of course, trying to get as far away from home as he could. And there he squandered his wealth in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, he's taken half the family fortune, and it's gone. It's gone. Smart kid. He began to be in need. And we know that he was barefoot because he had no money for shoes. We can infer that from a little bit later in the story. So he went and hired himself out to feeding pigs. They sent him out to the field to feed the pigs, and he gladly would have eaten what the pigs were eating, but nobody gave him anything to eat. When he finally came to his senses, he said this to himself, "How many of my father's servants have bread enough to spare? But here I am, dying of hunger. I'm going to go back to my father. I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Please, at least treat me like one of your hired hands so I can have something to eat. So he went off and he went to his father, but while he was still a long ways off, his father saw him coming. He was waiting. You know, Jesus is looking for you. If you haven't come to him, he's looking for you. He's waiting for you. While he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with love and compassion. He ran out and he slapped him across the face and said, "What do you think you're doing?" No, he didn't. While he was still, he ran out and put his arms around him and kissed him. And then the son said, "Father, I have sinned against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his slave, "Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet, because he spent all the money. And get the fatted calf and let's party. We are going to eat and celebrate, for this son of mine has come home. He was dead and now he is alive again. He was lost and is found. And we are going to have
a party."
Yes, we are. Because you would do it if your kid was lost and came home. You would do it if your kid, you thought your kid was dead and made so many mistakes and came home, right? Then there's the older son who always did everything right. And I can relate to that because I'm the older. But I didn't always do everything right. But the older son became angry and refused to go into the party that his father was throwing for the younger son. His father came out and began to plead with him. But he said to his father, "Why have you done this? I have been perfect all of my life. I have never disobeyed you. But when he comes back after he's devoured all your assets with prostitutes, you killed the fatted calf for him, and now we're having a party. What's going on, Dad?" He says, "Son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. But can't you see? We had to celebrate and rejoice, because this brother of yours was dead, and now has come back to life. He was lost and has been found." And Jesus says, this is what the kingdom of God is like. The kingdom of God is like a
party.
Jesus is saying the kingdom of God is like a party. I firmly believe that. It's quite obvious. When one sinner repents on earth, the angels throw a party in heaven. And beginning right in the first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 12, God was promising a Messiah, and the Messiah was Jesus. God was promising to make a great nation out of Abraham and Israel. And this nation of Jews would bring blessing and salvation to the whole world through the coming Messiah. And he's already done that through Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the answer to all of our problems. And finally, 600 years before Christ came, God spoke again through the prophet Jeremiah. Now they knew that there was going to be a Messiah coming. And so 600 years before Christ, in the reign of in Judah, as Jeremiah was the prophet there, he told the people that the Messiah would offer a better sacrifice. God's presence and God's Spirit would be available to all who would call on the name of the Lord. This is also apparent. This is also told in Joel chapter 2. And if you want to read Jeremiah 31:31 and the verses following that, there is the new covenant laid out 600 years before Christ, telling about Christ. In this reading that we have read today, when Jesus is responding to the Pharisees at the dinner, he said, "You can't be the Messiah." He's telling the religious leaders of that day that he is the Messiah. And he's explaining to them the new rules of the new covenant as foretold in Scripture. We no longer have to make a continual sacrifice. The Messiah has paid the price with his own blood. It is one sacrifice for all time. Instead of continual sacrifices, there is one sacrifice for all time. Why do people go to church? Nobody comes to church to hear what they've done wrong. Right? I already know what I've done wrong. I don't need somebody else to tell me that. But for some people, they think that's why you go to church. For the preacher or the priest to convict God doesn't want to keep score of everything you've done wrong either. He doesn't want to keep track of all your sins, all of the hatred and anger, all of the running away to do your own thing, all of your prodigal stuff. But He will keep score of everything if you give Him a choice. And that is this. If you reject the love that He has given through the Son of Jesus Christ, you might ask, how is it that I give God no choice? That's it. Just as the Pharisees, they knew there was a Messiah coming and that there was a new covenant coming. And Jesus said, it's here and it's me. Well, Pastor John, but what about the good works? The good works are what we do in thanksgiving for what He has given us. We do not earn our salvation, brothers and sisters. It's been bought and paid. And that is the party. Because the kingdom of God is like a
party.
That is what Jesus said. The parable of the wedding feast is important because Jesus tells us what happens to those who reject the Father's perfect sacrifice. Jesus also told this parable. There was a wedding banquet given for a king's son. Once more Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his slaves to call them who had been invited to the wedding banquet, but they would not come. They were too busy at the stock market or at the bank or something. Again, he sent other slaves, saying, tell those who have been invited, look, I've prepared my dinner. Now this is the king's son, the king's very son. And you might get where this is going, where Jesus is taking this. He said, look, I prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, everything is ready, the food's going to spoil, come to the wedding banquet now. But they made light of it, went away, one went on to his own business at his farm, another to his own business downtown, while the rest seized those slaves who were working for him, who were giving them the good news, and they mistreated them and killed them. And Jesus was saying that this is the prophets. This is what the people of God did to the prophets. They did not want to hear the good news. They wanted to keep on doing their own thing. The king was enraged. He sent troops. He destroyed those murderers and burned down the city. Now these are the words of Jesus. Then he said to his slaves, the wedding is ready, but those invited are not worthy. Go therefore out into every street and invite everyone you find to the wedding banquet. Those slaves went out to the streets and gathered everyone they could find, both good and bad, so the wedding hall was finally filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed there was one man who was there not wearing a wedding robe. He wasn't celebrating. And he said to him, friend, how did you get in without a wedding robe? And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, bind him hand and foot, throw him into the outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. Now to summarize this point of the parable of the wedding feast, I'll give it to you this way. Over the years, I've read it several times, but this is the best explanation that we have for it, I believe. The parable of the wedding feast is this. God sent His Son into the world. That would be Jesus. And the very people who should have celebrated His coming, that would be the church leaders, the Pharisees, the Jews. The very people who should have celebrated this new chapter, this new covenant, getting away from sacrifices and all of that and convicting people of sin, they rejected Him, which brought judgments upon themselves because they rejected Jesus Christ, the very Son of God. As a result, the kingdom of heaven was opened up to anyone and everyone who will set aside his own righteousness. Did you hear that? We set aside our own righteousness. We don't count on that. We don't depend on that. And by faith, we accept the righteousness that God provides us in Christ. Because I don't know about you, but every day I am imperfect. I have imperfect thoughts that come into my head. I do things that I shouldn't always do. I'm not perfect. And I don't think anybody else in here is. And Jesus said, that's okay. It's okay. He doesn't want to judge you. He doesn't want to cast you out. He doesn't want to judge you. He wants your heart, and He wants to love you. This is the message of Jesus. He wants to give you things that money can never buy. Gifts that last forever. He wants to give you the gift of the Holy Spirit. He wants you to be born again. He wants you to be in Christ. That's another way of saying that you've got Jesus living inside of you. And when we have that, then we have the Holy Spirit, and we have the gift, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faith, gentleness, and self-control. According to Jesus, if we reject the Son of God, then we reject the sacrifice of the Son of God, and we reject the love of God the Father. There is a party waiting for everyone who confesses and comes to God. I just want to share a couple of personal stories, and we'll be out of here by 1 o'clock. hopefully sooner than that. This really happened. Fort Recovery, Ohio. And I've said it before. Now, everybody knows that when you go to Fort Recovery, you've got to go to some town. Because everybody's focused on this letter shop story that I told one time. Right? But that is true. There's enough. Look, well, I'll tell you that one first. As I was visiting, I had lunch with a friend who was a friend of the church. His name is Bill, and he was working in Union City, Indiana. Union City is half in Indiana and half in Ohio. And we did lunch and visited with him. And I was walking through the town, and I went into some shops. And one of the shops I went into, there was a woman behind the counter. It was a leather shop. They had leather vests, leather hats, and yes, leather bikinis. Okay? Okay? And yes, I did think about getting one for my wife, but I didn't. Did I? Did not. Okay. But anyway, the woman behind the counter asked me, she said, "Well, you're new in town." Her name was Angel. By the way, she had the best security system I'd ever seen. Two Dobermans behind the counter. Right? But I introduced myself. I'm Pastor John, and I'm over in Fort Recovery. She said, "Oh, you're a pastor." She said, "Well," she says, "I'm not much for church." I said, "Well, that's too bad." I said, "Why do you say that?" She said, "Well," she says, "my mother makes me feel terrible. She doesn't think that people like me belong in church." And I said, "Why? Because you wear leather or you have a motorcycle?" She said, "Yeah." And she said, she thinks I need to wear a dress and be proper and come to church, or God's not going to accept me. And I said, "Let me tell you, if you just want to travel a couple miles down the road to our church," I said, "we'll accept you with open arms, and you can celebrate with us." And she says, "There aren't any churches like that." She said, "If there was a church like that, I would go." I said, "Come on down." She never did. That's the real story right there. It's not about the bikinis. It's about this person who was looking for somebody to accept her. And she felt like an outcast because her mother made her feel that way.
I'm going to share a book. I read something this week that made me think a lot. There's this woman, young woman. I think she's only 25 at this point, but she's been saved for a couple of years. And she wrote this funny thing you can find on social media. She says, "You know, I used to be in charge of a covenant of witches, and we would follow Christians around and wreak havoc for them." She said, "We knew where their businesses were, we knew where their churches were, we knew, and we would just ask the demons to destroy every good thing that they were doing." She said, "But you know what? I got saved because I knew that I could never defeat the power of God." And she said, "I've never been the same. There is so much peace and power." And she said this, and this is the part I want to share with you. And this and ask for, well, you'll get it in a minute. When I go to visit, I want to take another man with me. Because it's clear in Scripture. Jesus said, wherever two or more of you are there in my presence, there I am. Now this young woman, who is now 25, in all of her years, I don't know how old she was when she started doing all the witchcraft stuff, but she said, no matter what we did, she said, I could see in my mind's eye the spirit, she said, the evil spirits know as much, a lot too, she said, and the evil spirits knew that there was no way, if there was a prayer meeting going on, if there were two people praying, or more than that, praying, she said, it was like there was this blue, she says, I can't explain it, but it was like a blue dome over that house where they were, and nothing could penetrate it. So brothers and sisters, we don't just pray, but we should pray together. That's why I think the old timers, like the people who built this church, had prayer meetings. It wasn't just one person praying. It wasn't just the pastor praying. It wasn't just you praying. But it was praying together. So pray with your wife. Pray with your friends. The last thing I want to share with you is also from Corporate Treasure. Corporate Treasure, behind. And I've told this story, but I'll tell it again. Genevieve, she's about this tall, and she walked like this. She had a cane. She was all hunched over, but she was one of the most beautiful women I'd ever seen in my life because she loved the Lord. Genevieve was in her 80s, I don't know, close to 90, and she was way up there. But her sister Katie, never been married, and her sister Katie was a part of the animal, and everybody in the family knew that. And she said, Pastor John, she said, Katie's near the end, she's got cancer, she goes to the Catholic Church, and they've done everything they can do. She says, I want you to come and pray and visit with her in the hospital. Well, it wasn't the hospital. Was it a facility or her own home? It was in her own home. And she said, now, she's really gone downhill, but I'm hoping she can understand us because she's not been responsive for several days, 3 or 4 days. But I want you to come and pray. So we went. I brought Joyce. We went and we prayed. And Katie reached her with her name. And she's laying in the bed like this. Joyce over here holding her hand. Genevieve holding her hand up here. And I'm in the middle. I can't remember how we were. Joyce could probably remember how we were all standing. I have it wrong.
Okay.
At any rate, we're all holding hands with Kate around her bed. And Genevieve says, we need to pray the 23rd Psalm. And so we started with the 23rd Psalm. And as we've been there for an hour, and there was no movement, nothing at all. Talk to her, nothing. Died, nothing. We're holding hands. And we begin this. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And her hands and her feet raise up, right? It's crazy. The power of God was there. And somehow God broke through. And it was, I never experienced anything like that. The power of God over evil spirits breaking through to a heart that needs salvation. And as we left, talked to Genevieve on the way out, and I said, well, that was something I've never experienced that before. Genevieve says, but I'm mad. I'm upset. I said, but you just saw what happened. She says, I'm upset. outside. It was the three of us and Katie. And we can tell the story. We're brothers and sisters. There was a party waiting for you and for everybody. And that is the good news. And so what kind of a church should we be? We should be a church that celebrates the presence of God, that celebrates Jesus. Jesus who wants us to celebrate. Jesus who sets us free. Jesus who gives us all of these gifts of the Spirit. There is a celebration that is both already here and is still yet to come. That is the kingdom of God. Because brothers and sisters, we all need more party in our lives. And by party, I don't mean a party where you feel bad the next day. I mean a party that is so good for you inside and out. It is good for your mind, your body, and your spirit. We should be a people, and I don't care how we dress, blue jeans or whatever you want to wear. I don't care. What we need to be, the kingdom of God, as Jesus told us. And Jesus told us that the kingdom of God is like a party. One more time. The kingdom of God is like a party. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your love to us. You snuck into my heart many years ago when my mother told me to pray and ask you to come in, and I did, and holy cow. What a change in my life has been brought in my heart since Jesus came into my heart. Lord, be with each one of us. Convict us, love us as only you can. Lord, and let us have conversations about these things over dinner. Thank you for this day. We thank you for the rich history of this church where so many were saved. And back in the 1760s, my goodness, what a rich heritage this land and this place holds. May we be deserving of their sacrifice and of your sacrifice.